bird is called a white-throated sparrow, and it has a distinctive call. And now that the weather's warming up a little, she likes to keep the screen door, the door open a little bit in the kitchen area so she can hear outside to see if one of those white-throated sparrows is going to be in the little woods behind our house. And they have been there before, and they sing, and she knows it. And sometimes I try to fool her by taking my cell phone because I have an Audubon bird thing on there, and so I can get that sound and go out under our deck and let it play, and then she comes rushing, "I heard one! I heard one!" And sometimes I don't have the heart to tell her it was me, but she's looking forward to that shortly. Why do you think we sang this song tonight in regard to Daniel in a lion's den? If his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, we're going to learn that he was watching Daniel, wasn't he? Those of you who have ever done anything in speech or drama, those of you who have been a part of the VBS plays, you know that there's such a thing called a dramatic pause. A dramatic pause. Let's turn our Bibles open to Daniel chapter 6. And if I were Daniel, this would be a perfect place for a dramatic pause. To make the king sweat. Daniel chapter 6. We have thus far been looking at, in chapter 6, the conspiracy against Daniel and that plot and that plan that took place. And then we have already studied through some of the cruelty of the whole decree and the whole plot and how it affected Daniel. And can be nothing said about it except that it was a very cruel, cruel act. And we have looked in, starting at verse 15, with the sentencing of this cruelty. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Just in case you've forgotten, king, you have to follow through on your law. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then we see not only the sentencing being carried out, but we see the sorrowing that took place for the rest of the night. And verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" This is where I would have, if I were Daniel. Now, I'm not as spiritual as Daniel, so he probably didn't do this, but I would have let the king sweat for a few minutes. But then, maybe not, because maybe I'd be anxious to let the king know that, yes, my God is able to deliver me. Maybe I'd have cried out when I heard his footsteps coming of what God had done. And so now we see the safety that God provided in this time of cruelty. I'm sure you've heard it said that you're always safest in the will of God. You're safer in the will of God than you would be out of the will of God. And is Daniel in the will of God here? Most definitely. And so we know that he is safe here in this situation. And so we see that even though he had been mistreated, even though he had been tricked, even though there had been a plot against him, and even though the king had also become a part of that plot, what did Daniel continue to show? Well, in his very answer, he showed tremendous respect for authority, even though that authority was wrong. He still showed great respect for that authority. He said, O king, live forever. He didn't curse the king. He didn't say anything against the king. He simply, in great, great respect. You know, that was a total different way that the people who were charging him and wanting him destroyed, it was a lot different than how they acted, wasn't it? We've mentioned several times in our previous study that when it talks about them being assembled together, that word assembled had to do with a very riotous group. They were not respectful to the king. They almost went in verse 15 that we just read. These men assembled, and that's the same word, this riotous assembly, and said unto the king, and almost in a demanding way spoke to the king. They were not very respectful. And yet Daniel, in everything that we ever see from the life of Daniel, Daniel is respecting authority, even though he's living under a pagan system. He's respecting the authority. There's a great lesson for us there as well, isn't there? That no matter what happens to us, we ought always to respect the authority that God has placed over us and in our lives. And Daniel, even though he's in the den of lions in prison, he continues to show sincere respect for authority. But then his next words are giving a report of his safety. Notice verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And so he reports very quickly that he is safe. The extent of his safety, the lions have not hurt me. If I were even to take my shirt and roll up my sleeves a little bit tonight, you would see very quickly that I was messing around with my dog. And I have some scratches on my arms from Willow. Probably were not her fault. But Daniel didn't even have a scratch. Not a scratch. The lions have not hurt me. Unharmed. Notice if we skip down to verse 23, this is not so much what Daniel is saying, but what he later wrote when he was giving this, and it's actually for our benefit. Verse 23, it says, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. No manner of hurt. They have not hurt me. This was, without a doubt, a miracle. A divine miracle. And Daniel not only gives the extent of his safety, but he gives an explanation for his safety. What was his explanation? Well, he says there, "For as much as before him innocency was found in me," and he said the extent is, "My God has sent an angel." That's the explanation. Now, I don't know for sure whether this was the angel of the Lord. We often see that in Scripture, don't we? Who was the angel of the Lord? Another pre-incarnate manifestation, an Old Testament theophany of Jesus Christ in the flesh. And I'm not sure if this was indeed the angel of the Lord or an angel of the Lord. I don't know for sure which one it was. But we also see here that it was God's supply that he sent his angel. And that angel worked on his behalf. Now, we also have further explanation as to why. And what did we read down in verse 23? Because he believed in his God. Another reason or another explanation for God sent his angel, because he was innocent and because he believed in God. So we see the being of his safety was none other than the angel. Aren't you glad Psalm 91:11 says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways"? Hebrews 1:14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know who those people are? You and I, as we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have ministering spirits. We have angels who are watching over us. And so this explanation that Daniel gave included angels, and it included the fact that he had behaved himself. "For as much as before him, God, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king." He was innocent. God watched his behavior, and God knew that Daniel was innocent. Now, does that mean that we will always, when we are innocent, be delivered from any problems? No. Even when we perhaps have done nothing wrong, we can find ourselves in some kind of difficulty. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find many people there who suffered, who had done nothing wrong except stand up for their God. God can choose to keep us out of troubles, but he can also choose to keep us when we are in trouble. And this being righteous will result in God's blessings and in God's protection. But there was also not only his behaving, but also his believing. "No manner of hurt was found upon him," verse 23, "because he believed in his God." What does it say over in Hebrews chapter 11? Well, if we read there in verse 33, it doesn't mention Daniel by name, but it says, "Who through faith stopped the mouths of lions." We recognize that that is probably speaking about Daniel here. So we see this wonderful report of his safety. He's giving testimony. And then, how had the king come to the cave, come to the mouth of the pit? Well, it said way back up there in verse 20, he cried with a lamentable voice. But now, what happens to him in verse 23? "Then was the king exceeding glad." Exceeding glad. and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. This king that had been tricked into signing a decree that eventually brought forth this whole punishment upon Daniel was now rejoicing, exceeding glad. He was glad that Daniel was safe. He was glad that Daniel's God was indeed able to deliver him. Now, we read it very quickly, and it looks kind of like it doesn't mean too much, but commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Do you think those ones that threw him in were probably the same ones that had to get him out? How many of you think it would have been easier to throw him in than to get him out? Especially if you're near the mouth of this pit where the hungry lions were robbed of their meal overnight, and they are ready to eat, and now you have a job of getting this man out of the lion's den. Now, I'm sure that they did not go themselves down in. They probably threw down a rope or some kind of a rope ladder or a sling or something that he could get in and they could pull him out. But I'm sure, just like it was dangerous when what happened to the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, they perished. These men had the possibility of perishing when they were trying to rescue Daniel out of the lion's den. But now the command went forth to take him out of the den. And the sentence of the decree had been fulfilled. What was the sentence? Cast into the lion's den. The sentence did not include you have to be eaten. It included being cast into the lion's den. And so now the command is to remove him from the lion's den. And so they did. These guards, these soldiers, probably quite apprehensive about it, had to roll away the stone, perhaps expose themselves to some kind of danger. But no matter what the setting may have been, they took him out of the pit. And it's they in that verse 23, so when Daniel was taken out of the pit and no manner of hurt was found upon him, it's they who found no manner of hurt upon him. So we have this tremendous, tremendous example of God's protection, this tremendous example of God's deliverance, a wonderful, wonderful story of God's mercy and grace and his ability to control his creation. But now, as we move into the story further, verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accursed or accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They were torn to pieces before they even hit the bottom. This, if you've been counting, is the third command in this chapter 16. The first command was, throw Daniel in. The second command was, take Daniel out. The third command was, throw those rascals that came up with this whole plan in. Now, you have to remember, in Jewish law, when someone was found guilty of a sin or a law that they broke that demanded capital punishment, the children and the wives were not executed with the individual. That was not a part of Jewish law. But remember, you're dealing with a pagan king here and a pagan law. And when he carried out some punishment against these men, what did he also do? He destroyed their family as well. Sin has terrible consequences. And they cast them, verse 24, into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. The principle here, though, is very clear, a principle that we can apply in our own lives. When we sin, does it have effect on others? And the answer is yes. Here, their sin had a tremendous effect on others, didn't it? The others lost their lives as well. That probably isn't going to happen in our society, but surely sin still has an effect upon others. Husbands, if we sin, it has an effect on our wives. It has an effect on our children. And so don't ever think that sin will just affect me. It affects many times others around us. Sin will also have an effect upon our whole church family. We're a body in Christ, and when one member sins, it has an effect on everyone. And certainly we need to remember that. You know, God put restraint on the lions when Daniel was in the den. God took away and withdrew that restraint when the sinners were thrown into the pit. That's kind of a sad place if we had to end there with this story. But we don't have to end there because there's a statute made, a new law made, a new decree made, a wonderful new law, a wonderful decree. Then King Darius wrote, who wrote the first decree that, well, his men wrote it and then had him sign it. But now he's writing one himself, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I'm not sure if Daniel sang it, but he should have sung, God is so good. God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. He answers prayer. He did that for Daniel, didn't he? And the same God of Daniel is the same God that we serve. Now, as we come to our Lord's table tonight, here's an opportunity that you can speak now. I know you've just been sitting listening, but here's an opportunity. How might we apply this whole story of Daniel to the Lord's table tonight? Is there anything that corresponds between what we've studied and an application that we can have just before we have the Lord's table tonight? Anybody have any thoughts? Yes. All right. So we could maybe use the word deliverance, couldn't we? He delivered Daniel, and he delivered us from eternal destruction. We can look at the elements reminding us of Christ's finished work and remember that it was through his broken body and his shed blood that he delivered us. And we can praise him tonight. Let's take our hymn books and turn to a